Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the Tigers of LSU, a team of destiny and a team for ages, celebrate on the field here tonight in New Orleans inside the Superdome. Tigers win. They are the national champions.
LSU Radio with the call, 42-25. They come back and pull away from Clemson. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And right now, driving back from the stadium is Brian Broaddus, LSU Tiger himself. I saw his jersey yesterday being put on by David Hellman. And why aren't you asleep? Why aren't you hungover right now celebrating your team's national championship?
Well, I'm too old to do both. So, yeah, it's one of those things where I said, you know, David Hellman always says, you're into feats of strength. And so... Feats of strength to me is, okay, I get a ticket to go to the national championship. It's 7 hours away. Can you do this in one day? And so, yeah, I got up. I've now been up officially 24 straight hours, but making good time. I'm on the other side of Terrell, Texas. So, it was really, really exciting to be there. And like you said, I was really honored that Hellman wore my jersey from the 1985 Sugar Bowl. So, you know, it was a jersey that was used in that stadium. So I appreciate him doing that. And it was just a great atmosphere. The last time I'd been to a national championship game was 07 when LSU beaten Ohio State there. So, it's nice to see your alma mater do well and win national championships.
So take us inside the city. Take us inside the stadium. Everyone says LSU has the best home field atmosphere, right? And obviously it was in the Superdome, but what was the atmosphere like, and what was the crowd split?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, we were trying to figure it out before the game, and we really came up with more of a 60-40 LSU to Clemson. But Clemson's fans are really, you know, I don't know much about, I know Clemson from watching them. I've never been to one of their games. I've never been to their Death Valley, and, you know, but they fill that place up. They traveled well. They all had orange on. You could tell in the crowd. And, you know, I had to keep Hellman. I mean, Hellman was MF and everybody around us. And I thought, okay, we're going to end up getting in a fight. And, you know, the more Hellman drank, the more he – you know, if you follow Hellman on Twitter, when LSU plays, he's that obnoxious in real life.
He's awesome. So obnoxious.
So, yeah, he was going after the Clemson fans, and I was like, okay, here we go. But – you know, yeah, they were really loud, and it was tough because our fans are used to being the loudest of the crowds. But man, when that early part of the game, and especially when, you know, LSU didn't do a very good job of figuring out Clemson with Brett Venables went with a lot of twist fronts, and you know they didn't figure that out. Cousinberry and McGee, the guard center combination there, had trouble going kind of passing stunts in the middle of that defense, and it affected LSU. LSU really didn't have a good plan, but then they kind of started to figure some things out, made some plays on the outside. You know, the quarterback did a nice job of, like you were talking about earlier, Sean, of fitting the ball in there when he had to, made some back-breaking plays. I thought the huge play of the game was the offensive pass interference that went against Clemson because it was a 17-point game, and then they score there, you know, with Higgins, and then they get offensive pass interference that took them back, you know, to make it, you know, first and 25. And that really, you know, they had to punt in that situation. It'd have been a 10-point game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was worried those Pac-12 officials, you know, I've seen enough of that late-night football to understand that those clowns will mess up a game in a heartbeat. And, you know, Dabo Swinney, he had a right to complain, but really there were some penalties that really went both ways. But that PR, that PI call, the offensive pass interference, really affected the way they changed the game for Clemson when they were trying to come back.
What did you think about the targeting call?
Ooh.
Well, yeah, you know, and from our vantage point, you've been watching the screen, you know, you hate to see anybody get kicked out of the game. I think the targeting rule is, you know, when you lower your head, when you lead with your head, you know, and then you had kind of that, you know, the Clemson fans around us were yelling, oh, shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. And Hellman was like, no, you effers. It was his helmet, you know. And so, you know, it looked like to me like the lowering of the head and then the helmet like was part of the contact. And, you know, I was just like, you know, I hate to see guys get kicked out of games, especially like national championships. But, you know, that's their starting linebacker right there. And that affects the way that they play. So, yeah, again, Pac-12 officials, I watched enough of that late-night football to know, again, those guys can screw it up in a heartbeat.
Brian brought us on his way back from Louisiana after the Tigers, his Tigers, beat Clemson 42-25 here on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. How do you evaluate Burrow? Obviously, the season is stupid with the final numbers, but is it a late bloomer? Excuse me. Is it a late bloomer situation that scares you? He played, you know, 4 years, and, you know, last year, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks, and then he exploded. Right. How do you evaluate that as the number one pick probably to Cincinnati?
Well, yeah, and you look at it as the talent around him. You know, you were talking about the wide receivers they have, Moss, the tight end, you know.
Chase.
Williams-Hilaire, you know, the running back. You know, now you've got a pro coach that is coordinating for him and then finding ways to get his guys open and him taking advantage. I mean, this LSU was really a analytics nightmare for people because it was so run first, so run heavy. And, you know, so you're thinking, oh, gosh, we wasted a year of Joe. But, you know, you go back to, they open things up a little bit more in that, in the Central Florida game, it was played, you know, out there in Arizona, though, you know, the Fiesta Bowl. And then you kind of started seeing, well, man, he could throw the ball, and he's got toughness to him. But you evaluate him on, like, okay, look at his toughness when he was, a junior. Now look at what he's done with a senior with pro-style attack, route combinations, pro-style receivers, you know, a game plan that can down the field. And I think that's how you have to evaluate. The thing I think we're going to talk about this spring we'll be interested in, you guys mentioned, will Cincinnati screw this up? Could Cincinnati take a bunch of picks? You know, could Cincinnati say, you know what, we're going to move back in this draft and we're going to take a bunch of boatload of picks and try and help our team that way? You know, they might feel like, well, yeah, we need a quarterback, but can we take one of these other quarterbacks and get a boatload of picks? Maybe they like the guy at Oregon better. You know, maybe they like Tua better. This is the great fascination that we're going to have and fun that we're going to have this spring of what they were going to do with that first overall pick.
Is it a overreaction or a rush to judgment to say, and I know he's not coming out right now, but Burrow over Lawrence if they were in the same draft?
Well, yeah, I think that to me, Lawrence, you know, you saw Lawrence struggle a little bit. Now, again, this is the first game that Lawrence has lost in 2 years. I mean, the North Carolina game was in balance, you know, for him. That could have been a loss, you know, that they had or in the middle of the year, and they survived that. But, you know, he's a tremendous talent, and what's unique about him is his ability to run, the ability to move. Now, he had to make some throws going to his left where he struggled a little bit. He bounced the ball, and he was a little wide on some throws. The throws to the sidelines were hard for him tonight. Ones in the middle of the field. I'm surprised they didn't attack Delpit and those guys in the middle of the field more. I was really – everything was going wide, and, you know, that's kind of – you know, you're kind of playing to the strengths of LSU with, you know, with Fulton out there, you know, and Stingley. Those corners can cover. So I thought they were going to try and attack the middle of the field more. But, yeah, I think that you look at Joe, you know, the accuracy's there. Both of them have the mobility. I mean, both are just quality cornerbacks. I think that maybe even that Lawrence might be a little bit better ball handler. If you're one of those teams that's big play action, the way he's able to disguise it, pull it, throw it, those kinds of things are really positive about him.
Would it kind of make sense that Burrow is – the more reliable, higher floor guy, but Lawrence has the higher upside?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that, you know, with Joe, the thing that you talk to people at LSU about Joe is that he's always going to come in and he's going to outwork everybody. He's a first in, last to leave guy. You know, he really didn't go to class at LSU. He'd already graduated at Ohio State, but he got a degree from LSU. He took all his classes online. But what he was doing was he was going, spending all his time in the football office just working, you know, working on game plans and helping the coaches with stuff like that. So that cerebral part of the game, and then he's developed the physical part of the game. But Lawrence is a guy, too, you know, for such a young guy that how fast he's risen and, you know, and playing on the big stage and going against these quarterbacks in big games and against quality teams and faring very well. So, yeah, I think your question too, yeah, Joe's going to have to probably outwork. He's got talent, but Lawrence has got a lot of talent to him.
Brian brought us here on 105.3 The Fan. So Dane Brugler said there was like 30 pro prospects in this game, and Kavanaugh said most likely Cowboy picks at 17 could be Delpit, the safety, and sure, Christian Fulton got picked on a lot. So
he did.
How do you look at those guys and any other players on that field that jumped out as Cowboy possibilities?
Well, yeah, I think that you got to look at defense for the Cowboys. They've got to figure out, you know, what depending on what happens with Byron Jones, and then they got the situation, you know, Anthony Brown's a free agent. So, I mean, I think they're going to look corner in this draft. You know, Delpit, clearly a possibility there. I mean, there's a couple of safeties, you know, in this draft. I really do like the Alabama kid a lot, you know, and Delpit is one of those guys that if you go back and watch 2018 tape, he tackles much better than he tackled this year. You know, he's still got the range. I think there's some things that'll bother him. I don't think he'll run a really great 40 time, and so that might turn some people off, even though you see him play with range. But the speed is, you know, kind of one of those things you kind of go, wow, does he really, really run that well? Downhill stuff, he's pretty good. Underneath stuff, when the ball's going off the hash, had a chance to make a big play tonight. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see how this safety's, you know, maybe with the new regime with the Cowboys, that some of these positions that we didn't think were important will now become important on the defense. And, you know, that's, like I say, Fulton and Delpit and those guys could very well be considerations there.
Where does this LSU team rank amongst the best ones you've seen?
Well, yeah, this is the first one to ever win 15 games in a season. And they, you know, they really all season long, other than the Auburn game, you know, they really got after everybody that they played. And, you know, there was always worried. I personally felt like that Clemson did LSU a favor by beating Ohio State. I think Ohio State, to me, I've said this all along, I think Ohio State's best team in college football. I mean, I know LSU won the national championship and all that, but, you know, Clemson, they did LSU a huge favor. I feel like LSU matched up better against Clemson than they did Ohio State. And so for this one time, we can all hold our heads high, you know, 15-0 national championship. Went through a tremendous schedule. If you go back and just look at the teams that LSU beat and teams that have won bowl games, like the Sugar Bowl and the Citrus Bowl and the, you know, they beat Florida's and the Georgia's and Auburn's and the Oklahoma's. I mean, they've beaten some teams along the way that were, you know, top 10 teams at the time. So you got to say that they're one of the best ever to play at LSU. And by God, we're all proud of them for what they did.
Did you get anything good to eat locally?
No. Well, I met with my teammates from back in the 80s. One of my teammates has a place, a house right not too far from the Superdome there, and we all had a big get together, and he had quite a spread. When you got money, he's one of the few guys that has money of all my teammates. So other than the guys that play professional football, so we had a nice party beforehand and got to see a bunch of guys I played with from 1982 to 1986, and you know, it was really great, the old stories and stuff. Yeah, so we had quite a spread. So I didn't get any beignets or gumbo or any of that stuff like that, if that's what you mean. But it was just nice to make that trip, to see the team win and catch up with some old teammates.
Final question. Tolo's asking on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, does Broadus have any thoughts on the latest Cowboys staff decisions? Mike Wojcik out.
Yeah, that's good. You know.
Wow. How do you really feel?
no, that needed to be done. You know, that really needed to be, that needed to move on, you know. And Mike is, you know, he's been a warrior for a long time, but there comes a time where, you know, you as a strength and conditioning staff, you know, for a while there, they had the soft tissue injuries. They kind of corrected those.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's some things that they, you know, that they were kind of lacking. Brett Besch is an LSU guy who was there, and, you know, those guys are, you know, I feel like that this guy needs to, you know, Mike McCarthy, whether he brings in Mark Lovat, a name to keep an eye on, you know, for the strength conditioning program. He's an assistant at Green Bay. He was the head strength coach with the Packers, and then he turned around and he got demoted. And so maybe he's going to make an opportunity. Another name to keep an eye on is Benny Wiley from the University of Oklahoma. He was here as an assistant, went away, went to, you know, Texas Tech, went to Texas, and now at Oklahoma. So, you know, they're gonna do this strength conditioning program in a whole another direction.
How about Nussmeier in for Kitna? Obviously,
yeah.
Richard out, and then they're bringing in a guy from A&M to replace Chris Richard.
Yeah, keep an eye. There might be two college hires here. Actually, you know, Lipgow is a guy that I heard about from A&M. The everybody, he's a guy that's really a hands-on. You know, gets on the players. I don't know if he'll be able to get on players in the pro. Works really good in college. I don't know if you can get on guys here that well, but, and you know, they respect you. He's a young guy, but talk to some people there at A&M. They outstanding recruiter, outstanding on-field coach, very emotional type of a coach, really outspoken, stuff like that. But yeah, keep an eye on that position. They might actually get two college guys from what I'm hearing there. So the second guy, we'll replace an old teammate of mine, Greg Jackson, who was a safeties coach. So keep an eye on that replacement possibility there. It's just two college guys. We'll see.
Thank you for doing this for us. Congratulations on the national championship, and drive back safe. We appreciate it. You're a machine. What's it, the feats of what?
Feats of strength. Feats of strength. It's the Aryan Grievance. It's part of the Festivus.
Feats of strength. Thank you, Broadus.
Go Tigers.
Ryan Broadus in the buyersafety.com hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.